This is What's It Like with Dr. Ken Tangen.
Hi, this is Ken Tangen. This is episode 69 of What's It Like. My guest is Denise Jacobs, somewhere in Miami.
Somewhere in Miami.
Where in Miami are you?
I'm actually most precisely across the street from Coral Gables.
Oh, well.
So I'm in kind of what I like to think of as the center, kind of the almost the dead center of Miami. It's near Coral Gables. Coral Gables literally is across the street, and nice area, nice part of town.
The only thing I know about Miami is I went to a conference that was in the Fontainebleau, and that's it.
Okay. Wow. That must have been a nice conference.
Doesn't
suck.
That's right. But it was like, is either 85 and 95% humidity or the other way around. But I just remember how humid it was.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Miami in August.
Well, that's pretty much equals humidity.
Yeah. did you grow up in that area?
I did not. I grew up in Ohio.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And then as soon as I realized that I could leave Ohio to live someplace warmer, I left. So when I graduated from high school, I had my sights set on where you live, not Southern California, but Northern California. And I lived there for a year. And then for some reason or another, I went to Seattle for the summer and somehow never managed to leave until like 5 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I grew up in Seattle, so.
See? And that's probably why you like that weather.
That's probably it, yeah. Did you come from a large family?
No, I'm one of two children. I'm the second child. My sister is 6.5 years older than I am.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Was it as much an aunt kind of relationship, or?
Kind of more like a second parent, yeah. Yeah, kind of. And it's funny how that works out. I have a good friend whose sister's about 6 or 7 years older than her. As a matter of fact, two good friends and we're just like, oh, that's really strange how the dynamic ends up working out when your sibling is kind of that much older than you. Then they're so much responsible for taking care of you and babysitting you and things like that, that they are very much like almost like a second parent, like a surrogate parent.
So who had the biggest influence on you growing up?
Actually, my sister was a huge influence in my life growing up. Unsurprisingly enough, she's my sister. I grew up in a family of very creative people, but my parents were both kind of scientific types. So my father was first of all was an aeronautical engineer, and then once he kind of did that for a while, he decided he didn't really like working for people, and so he went back to school to become an optometrist. But my father's passion was flying, and so what he did in his copious amounts of spare time, and I say that tongue in cheek, is that he built experimental aircraft.
Hmm.
So I grew up with an airplane in the garage, not a car or two cars. The two-car garage held an airplane fuselage for most of my childhood. So my father was like that kind of, engineering-y, inventory scientific type. And then my mother worked at a research laboratory as a kind of a biochemical technician, I call her. And so she would set up all the experiments, she would run them, she would gather all the data, she would crunch all the numbers and all that stuff, and then she would give the data to the PhDs that she was working for, and they would interpret it and, all that stuff, and, analyze and all that stuff. So my mother would do that, but then she'd come home and she'd like sew things and she'd make hangings and macrame and all this stuff. And then my sister was like a fine artist. And so she liked to draw and to like, do things with colored pencil and watercolors and all this stuff. And so she ended up being like very creative, like a true artist. She went to art school and then studied architecture and all kinds of stuff. And so being kind of the second child and everything like that, I kind of watched all of this. And like my sister, was she's just really funny and really intelligent and very creative. And so we spent a lot of time watching improv comedy and making a lot of very silly jokes. and so that was a lot of fun in a lot of respects when I was growing up.
Did you catch the flying bug?
I did not catch the flying bug. No, much to my father's dismay, nobody in the family really seemed particularly interested in flying, unless it meant getting on an airplane and going someplace like California.
Mm-hmm. Had to be a purpose to it, right?
Yeah, you know, I was just like flying for flying's sake, you know, and I actually, I don't know if most people can boast to this, but I took my, at least most people around my age, I took my first small airplane ride, my first airplane ride ever when I was less than a year old. So, and there's actually a picture of my father like holding me. We're standing by the airplane. And I grew up around airplanes all the time. The thing that's really funny about it is like, it doesn't faze me because I'm used to like walking around air shows with a lot of people with their experimental aircraft. Like I'm used to going to airplane museums, the flight museums, and all that stuff. And I was just always like, can we go back home now? Like, and I kind of always felt bad that dad didn't have somebody who was just going to go like, yeah, let's go flying. Let's go to the flight museum. Let's go see the Wright Brothers movie or something. Yeah. I was like, couldn't you build something like practical, like cars?
What was your major challenge as a child?
I had a couple of major challenges or things that made life a little more interesting for me when I was a kid. I'm 6'1", and not a lot of women can boast to be 6'1", although when I do find them, I make them my friends. I'm like, you're as tall as me or taller. Great. Let's be friends. So I grew really fast, really early. When I was in the first grade, I remember I have a very a vivid memory of one day everybody in the class got measured, and we were standing by the swing set. Me and about five friends were standing by the swing set, and we were all telling each other our heights. And I remember in the first grade saying that my height was 4'11". And I'm sorry, but like a 7 or 8 year old that's almost 5 feet tall, that's pretty big, mm-hmm. You know? So I always kind of had to, you know, and most people that I know, again, I gather up tall people. And so we all, you know, kind of lament over similar things. But most of the time when you're tall, for some reason, especially when you're a kid and you're a bigger kid, you kind of lose out on all these like great kid things. Plus everybody thinks that for some reason or another, you don't have anything better to do than to try to beat them up because you're bigger than them. It's like, I would much rather go to the library than get in a fight with you. So do you want to come to the library with me? Because like they got books and stuff there. It's really great. So being very tall and being like big, you know, bigger, like then people like, you know, like kids would get picked up by teachers and swung around and all this stuff. And, you know, when's the last time like a teacher who was 5 something, you know, between 5 and 6 feet tall, picked up another person who was 5 or 6 feet tall and swung, you know, 5 feet tall and swung around? Not very frequently. So I loved books and reading and things like that. So I spent a lot of time reading books and wasn't really into like sports or anything like that. And again, as like a big kid, they expect you to either beat people up or to like excel at every sport. And I was just like, still want to go to the library. And then I want to get a book and I want to just read it. And that's pretty much what I want to do. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of an interesting, I guess not conundrum, but kind of a paradox, or, you know, these two things that didn't necessarily seem like they fit together.
So did you do well in school?
Yes, mm-hmm. I did do well in school. I was, you know, I loved learning and I loved, and I was, you know, a pleaser. So I would always be trying to get grades so the teachers liked me and all this stuff. But I just really liked learning. I just liked learning and I loved, I mean, I remember another kind of fond memory from my childhood in second grade. I think this was what got me started on really, I mean, I learned to read really young. I think mom tells me I was like 2 and a half or something like that when I started like reading, and then they would read to me before I went to bed every night before I went to sleep. And then mom said that it wasn't really very long after. It wasn't long until I got to the point where I was like, you're reading that too slow. Can I just have the book and read it myself? She was like, okay. So, But I remember in second grade, I had a teacher whose name was Mrs. Shaw. And she read to us, she opened up a book and she was like, okay, so the book I'm going to read to you is called James and the Giant Peach by Roald Dahl. And I remember, like, almost from the first sentence she read, just being so incredibly enthralled with the book that I went up to her after story time. You know, she only finished a chapter or something like that. I went up to her after story time and I was like, what's the name of that book? What's the author? I'm going to see if they have it at the library because I want to read it myself. I started reading that book and I started reading all of his books. And then I was like nuts. I was like reading everything under the sun.
Did you go to college?
I did. I went to my first year, I went to Stanford University up in the Bay Area. And then I went to Seattle. I tripped and stumbled and went to Seattle for the summer and then just found that I was kind of there. And so I actually took 2 years off of school and worked and supported myself and did a little bit of traveling. And then I went back to school and I went to the University of Washington and I finished up my degree there.
So what exactly do you do?
That's a very good question. I ask myself that every day. So I do several things. I'm an author. I wrote a book called The CSS Detective Guide. I contributed a chapter to a book called Interact with Web Standards, a Holistic Guide to Web Design. And I also... what else do I do? write articles on web design and web development, but actually really more now about creativity and the creative process. And I'm actually planning to write, do some book chapters, a book chapter and at least one small book on that in the next coming year, if not more. And then I also speak at conferences. I'm a professional speaker, so I speak fairly widely or as wide as I can as at web design conferences and also like business conferences. And I also am a web design trainer. So I train people on web design front-end development techniques using CSS, HTML, HTML5, etc. And pour la grande finale, I like to call myself a creativity evangelist and motivateuse. So or motivatrice. I can't decide whether I want to say motivateuse or motivatrice. Motivatrice or motivatrix, which like kind of gives like a little like more forceful, which is kind of, I think, probably more apt. So I was